The baseball teams are back in action. More on that later. Yankees at home against the Astros. The Mets in Milwaukee. The scene of one of the great moments in the history of the franchise last year. And the Jets and Giants start their preseason. We'll play a game of a new team who dat, where Sean and the staff will guess where players are now.
Can you get the game
right? Can you get it right, please?
Am I calling it by the wrong name?
Yeah. You just said new team who dat. It's who dits.
Can you play the song? That'll really refresh my memory. Because it does have a theme song. And that'll, like, rekindle the brain.
New team who dits. New team who dits.
That's it. New team who dits.
Sure, Sean, you don't even get the name of the game right.
The thing about new team who dits is this is a game we bring back at the beginning of sports seasons. We did it for baseball. We've done it for basketball. We did not do it for hockey because nobody would care. And we do it for football. And it's just a fun game of, where did that guy go now? New team, who dis? So we'll do that coming up in 15 minutes. But I do want to wish a very happy anniversary to a moment in WFAN history. 1 year ago today, I was on vacation. Sean was on vacation. And so Tommy Lugauer was in the big chair. And the show opened like...
Last night, I saw the Giants starting quarterback for week one, and his name is Tommy DeVito. 888-808-1019.
That's right. 1 year ago today, the love affair began.
Wow.
Remember that one?
I did not remember that one. I never heard that open ever in my life.
I've seen the future. And the love affair only grew from there.
No biggie.
Where is Tommy DeVito now? He's still on the Giants.
Yes.
And we know that.
You're going to see him in the fourth quarter on Saturday.
So he'll do some mop-up duty as the fourth quarterback. And yes. Once this preseason ends, assuming no injuries, and I knock on wood, I want everyone to be healthy. Jameis Winston will be the two. It's where he is on the depth chart. Russ will be the starter. Jackson Dart will be the three. What happens to poor Tommy?
I think they're going to try to keep him on the practice squad. And it's just going to be up to the rest of the NFL if there's a team that wants to guarantee him a roster spot as a second or third quarterback.
Would somebody do that based on the limited amount of success he had at the NFL level?
Here's the thing with Tommy DeVito. All jokes aside, he has proven in the NFL he is capable of taking snaps and finding a way to win football games and beating a team. Does that make him special to another team? I can't answer that because there's probably seven other Tommy DeVitos we don't think about in the NFL. Remember, right. He was also part of that year where a bunch of rookies played. My guess is he's on the Giants practice
squad. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Like, if I had to guess, that's where he ends up. Anyhow, we'll play the game coming up in a few minutes, but let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Alex is calling from White Plains. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. What's up? Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually happy you guys are talking about the ownership of the Giants.
Yes.
And I think they're the cause of a lot of the issues. You know, they've had bad hiring practices. Their hiring practice is always they have to have a giant lineage, you know, to coach this team. So Dable and Shane had to come basically to change two philosophies. One, the team, and also ownership. So I'm thinking that it's going to take some time. Hopefully this is now the year. They've got all the guys, and this is now the year they can do this change.
I hope so, Alex. Look, yes, Gettleman and everything went into Joe Judge. They had to lean on Bill Belichick. They've already had to battle that. And I think a lot of the question as to why Shane and Dable were retained for a year number four now, I think is the ownership looking themselves in the mirror and going, we hindered these guys the first 2 years, and we are the reason. And I think that is why they're in a year four. A newsflash, I don't think it takes an idiot to figure this one out by year four here. Do you think that ownership wanted Daniel Jones to be the quarterback off of a playoff year in 2022? Do you think after what we saw on camera last year with how badly they were struggling with letting Saquon go, they did that year earlier off a playoff year, it wasn't stronger about the quarterback?
What are you saying? You're saying that all the conspiracies were true, that John Mara forced Joe Shane to keep Daniel Jones?
Force is a hard word. Strongly encouraged if he knew what was best for him to find a way. Which is why I think Shane actually did a good job in ensuring that Jones' deal was essentially a two-year deal.
Yeah, that concerns me if that's true. And I trust you because Sean, like, as much of a shill as he is, he's got, like, these sources inside the Giants. And so he says things with a twinkle in his eye, like, I know this. And so if you're giving
I'm not reporting anything.
We have taken myriad of phone calls of Giant fans speculating. Hey, I bet John Mara forced Joe Shane to keep Daniel Jones. You're basically saying on the radio, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Didn't force him. He twisted his arm. If that is the case, I don't know if that's true, though it has been heavily speculated by Giant fans, that makes me very concerned about ownership. That would make ownership in Woody territory from that regard.
What we do know is that ownership was on the phone with Daniel Jones at that 11th hour going, you should take this deal. So
that's different, though. That's not the same. That's trying to seal the deal. That's Hal Steinbrenner being on the phone with Aaron Judge to seal the deal.
It's sealing the deal after you basically encourage your GM to make the deal.
Well, the encouragement part is what I ask you.
Yes.
If that's the case, then Joe Shane wasn't given the free rein to do what he wants to do in year two, and that sucks. And that would concern me about ownership. And it would put the Jets and Giants kind of in that same group. The one thing I'll say about Woody, and I don't trust Woody, I don't love Woody, is that I believe Woody gives his guys about 3 years. And then once the stinking continues, he gets handsy.
Mm-hmm.
But the first few years, I think he lets you do your thing.
It's the opposite.
That's a problem.
I think the last 2 years, there's a reason why people are happier about the draft the last 2 years. Suddenly the Giants are operating a little more freely than they were the first 2 years. And then that is how we've gotten to year four.
Let's go to JR in Somerville. What's shaking, JR?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, here's the thing about the Russ Wilson thing and why he's going to actually probably win like six games by himself. And I think it was Arthur from Atlanta mentioned his wife, Sierra. This is very important. I think this dude's only up here to take Kelly Ripa's job, okay? So he's going to go out there and win six games on the strength of that. I think she's something about her retiring or something. He's going to go out there, throw for about, 300, 400 yards in a couple games, and those two have their eyes on it, on that job, okay?
Kelly Ripa's
job. That's definitely happening.
I mean, that makes sense.
But the ironic part is, this was why we thought Matthew Stafford wanted to be here.
Yes.
Was his wife wanted to be Kelly Ripa.
That's right.
Poor Kelly Ripa. It's all the quarterbacks want to come play for the Giants to be Kelly Ripa.
Let's say that's true. And I don't know if any of that's true. Here's my attitude as a fan. Whether it's Juan Soto's decision to sign with the Mets or Kevin Durant's decision to sign with the Brooklyn Nets. If the great player, and again, not saying Russ is great, but if you sure. want the player. If the player you want picks you for reasons that are weird, who cares he picked you? It's like when people used to say to me, well, Durant only picked the Nets because, no one cares. And I'm like, okay, what the hell do I care? He picked the Nets. Juan Soto. Right. I heard Keith say this the other day, and I actually agree with Keith. Keith's like, come on, you know why Juan Soto picked the Mets the most money. And I'm like, yeah, no kidding. I got no problem with that. Like, does anybody have a problem with that? I don't care.
No. Yankee fans dealt with this forever. Like, I don't know that Jason Giambi was dying to be a Yankee. He was talking, wow, the Yankees going to pay me that much money? Who cares? You wanted to be here.
That's right. I remember
for the money.
When Garrett Cole signed here, and he obviously took the most money, but he came out with the sign. Remember the sign?
When he redid the sign and made it all faded?
Yeah, I thought it was a fake sign. And Yankee fans are arguing with me. I grew up as a Yankee fan, and I'm like, who cares if he did or he didn't?
That was not the real sign.
He picked the Yankees. It doesn't even matter. So in the case of Russ, not that Russell Wilson at this part of his career is on that level, but even if the reason he came here was that his wife wants Kelly Ripa's job, again, not sure how Kelly feels about this.
Sure.
Like, as long as he performs on the field, cool.
Right.
Like, what does it matter?
Right. And I hope you are Kelly Ripa then. Good for you. I got nothing against Ciara. Good for you.
Wouldn't it be funny if Ciara ends up hosting a show with Michael Strahan?
Who would be more associated with the Giants? Because the whole generation could forget Strahan was the Giant.
Well, I think it depends. If Russ is like a Super Bowl winning quarterback with the Giants, that's a different story.
But if
he turns out to be like the veteran backup because Jackson Dart took his job and he's happy to be here, that's a little bit different.
You just made me think of something. Giants win the Super Bowl this year, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
They bringing him back for a year or two?
So this is such a fanboy question, but I have to admit, I thought about this last night.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God.
Are you serious?
Yes. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I was watching all the interviews over the last few days at Giants camp, and the Giants do a really good job of putting that stuff out there. I did the same thing with the Jets, by the way, too. The Jets have like a live show they put on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good. Like Kevin Mawai was on. I was like, oh, I love Kevin Mawai. So I'm watching Russell Wilson, and I'm thinking to myself, how come no one just says to him, like point blank, Russ, you were signed to be replaced. Like, literally, that guy's taking your job. Like, he was signed to replace you. Is that weird? Like, that would be my question. Right. Like, is that not strange to you? That guy, that kid who's on this roster is clearly going to replace you. How's that make you feel? And as I was thinking about this question, I was thinking, what if they win the Super Bowl? And I think the answer to that question is, because I do want to entertain it as dumb as it is, because let's be honest, the Jets have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than the Giants do. I think we all agree with that.
The team with the longest playoff drought has a better chance of winning the Super Bowl with a quarterback who was just replaced by the quarterback the Giants signed.
That is correct. Yeah, all that is true. I think the Jets...
And I'm the fanboy?
Yeah. No, I don't think the Jets have any chance to win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying they have a better chance than your team.
Okay.
I mean, it's like... It's like Tommy and you arguing who has a better chance to hook up with Sydney Sweeney. I mean, neither of you have a chance, But who has a better? I mean, someone has to win, right?
If we're being honest, it would be me, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay, you guys can have that Lugash debate series soon.
I believe that CR is a chubby chaser. And I believe if we both weren't married, she would have considered going home with me.
I remember that.
It happened.
That did happen. So my point is, I think if the Giants won the Super Bowl, they would say thank you for your service and he'd leave. He'd get a big contract elsewhere.
Exactly.
And Jackson Dart would be the quarterback.
In a quarterback-hungry NFL, I'm totally with you. That's the right answer. They drafted Jackson Dart. They won a ring. Nobody's going to crush him afterwards. And Russell will get paid by the Jets or something.
Now, do me a... The Jets or somebody. Shut up. Now, first time in a while.
Oh.
Play that theme song, Connor.
New team who dis.
Yes.
New team who dis.
Yes, football season can start
now. New team who dis.
So here's the game, and I want everybody to play at home. I'm going to name a player. This player has moved teams, okay? He's on a different team. The game is, what team is he on now?
How many people are we doing? I need to know.
I have a huge list of players, and I'm debating if I want to start easy and go hard. So I'm going to start easy. I'm going to go right into Sean's wheelhouse. Azeez Ojulari.
Eagles.
There you go. Warm him up. Former Giant Eagle. I like it. Adoree Jackson.
Eagles.
Okay.
Starting for the Eagles right now, by the way.
Overrated. Javon Kinlaw.
Ooh, is he up in Buffalo now?
And Paul Rosenberg for the steal.
I think it's the Commanders.
There it is, the Commanders. Wow. Who knew that someone who knew nothing about football would nail that one?
Yeah.
Well, can you guys see the trend so far? We're starting with the former
Giants and Jets.
Okay. Let's continue on with DJ Reed.
Reed. Oh, God.
The former Jet corner. New team who dis.
I remember when he signed going.
New team who dis.
Oh, Sean is stumped.
No, here's the thing. My guess that I have, I'm actually thinking about their salary cap ramifications and their secondary going, hey, can't be right. But I'm going to say Seattle.
He is incorrect. Paul Rosenberg for the steal.
The Detroit Lions.
Oh, my goodness.
He's on the Lions?
Yes.
That was totally
off
the wall.
Yeah, they flipped, yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, Rosie, I think Rosie's winning. If you lose this game to Paul Rosenberg,
we're tied.
I don't know, man.
We're tied.
Well, I think when he steals, he gets 2 points. So I actually think it's 4-2.
What?
If you get it right, you get a point. If Rosie gets something right that you got wrong, that's 2 points.
I wouldn't have been answering first on ones I didn't know fully then.
Let's keep the trend of the former Jets and Giants, why don't we?
All right.
Hassan Reddick.
Oh, God.
New team who dis.
Where did this stiff end up? And he already had a problem, right? Didn't he get banged up already? Where the hell did this loser go?
I love this game.
Paula, do you have an idea? Because I don't.
I don't. I'm trying. Are you going to say a team name or do you want me to say the name first?
You go first. I'll let you.
Tampa Bay.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
Was it really?
Yes.
Was it really Tampa? Yeah.
You know what? I wouldn't have guessed Tampa.
Paulie Rosenberg.
Bro, are you talking
Rosie!
Talk about a holdout that worked. Nobody remembers Hassan Reddick that exists.
That is really impressive, man. DeMarcus Lawrence.
New team who dis.
He went to Seattle, didn't he?
There you go. That's a victory for Sean right there. It is currently 5-3, Paul Rosenberg. Cooper Kupp.
New team who dis.
Seattle.
All right, got two in a row. Gave you a couple of Seattles to warm you up. Former Giant, Evan Engram.
New team who dis.
Oh, I just know that. I just did this. I just did this on my gambling show. He's in Denver.
There you go. All right. Sean has come to play. The Denver Broncos are correct. Cooper Rush.
He just threw a pick last night. He's in Baltimore.
I thought that was too easy because I watched him play last night, too. And I'm like, man, if he watched the second of preseason football, he would have been all over this. Very good. Sam Darnold is too easy, right?
Seattle.
Davante Adams.
Rams.
Yeah.
Same time.
All right. Very good.
Got anything else for us?
I've got a million. I'm just debating how hard I want to go. I'm also looking out for the audience. Like, do they want to hear about this guy or that guy? Kenny Pickett.
Oh, the Browns.
The Cleveland Browns. Very good.
He's going to get cut. He's already hurt.
Najee Harris.
He is in the Chargers and he has one eye.
All right. Look at you. He finished strong. It's a good job out of you.
Yeah.
Be honest with me. Did you study a little bit?
No. You've been teasing this. So for those who don't know behind the scenes, Evan has basically held this game out all week. It would be come in. Yeah, I think we do new team who this today.
New team who this.
And I have sitting there like one of those like football preview magazines that I've been ready to wind out on the pool. And I haven't opened it saying I don't want to cheat for the game.
No, you're right. Because it is kind of cheating. And here's the thing about this. This is my mechanism to go through a football season. You always take a vacation in August. So I got one in a couple of weeks, right?
We're off the same week, by the way. Well timed.
It's very good for the audience. No Sean, no Evan. It's quite a break. Maybe it's bad for the audience because you get a lot of Tommy
and Tiki.
You think you get Tiki, which is good. But when I'm on vacation, it's the relaxing vacation. Mm-hmm. And I still love the preview magazines.
Me too.
But over the last few years, I've grown to hate the preview magazines because they're outdated. That's the problem with print now. Like, if it was printed 3 weeks ago and someone gets hurt, like the case in Los Angeles with the Chargers, that's a big deal. They lost one of their star offensive linemen.
Sure. No, I don't agree with me? No, I do, but I feel like my brain allows myself, if it's a big enough injury, I know it happened.
No, look, there are certain things you're just going to know, but right. I don't want that. I want to be able to just read my preview magazines knowing it's up to date. So as much as I try to stay old school, like the way I score games, I won't go to a computer. I'll stick with my scorebook. I love previewing a football season with the old magazines like I did when I was 12.
Street Smith used to be the best.
Street Smith was my jam.
The best.
And I used to do this with the NBA, baseball, even hockey. Like, I was like, let me preview everything.
The clean sidebar with the whole roster. And loved the break. It. Oh.
But it's outdated.
Give me one of those over a Playboy any day. I got to be honest with you.
That explains our issues in high school.
Yeah.
But it's just nowadays when everything is so updated and you can take your tablet out and read anything you want, it's tough, man. I end up actually just reading things on my iPad.
But then it's clunky. Then I get like a car ad in the middle of it. I'm scrolling. I lose my place.
Nah.
They haven't perfected clean reading online.
No. They haven't. You know who's done it? I hate paying money for it, but the New York Post has an app. And I hate to promote them, but, you know, whatever. I pay for the app. It's an app, and I'll show it to you. It's like a newspaper, and it scrolls like a newspaper.
Oh, nice.
Doesn't that look good?
It does look good.
So it bothers me every time I pay the $4.99 a month because I'm like, what am I doing? I can read all this stuff for free. But I do love the feeling of it being a newspaper.
Here's the other issue, though, I have. At least by me, I go down to a beach by the name of Robert Moses on Long Island.
Bad guy, by the way, this Robert Moses.
Not about the guy, the beach.
Well, no, I'm going to say it. Robert Moses was so bad on it. First of all, I know people get so offended by this. Like changing the names of streets or buildings. I have no problem with it when a guy's a douche or a guy deserves to.
I don't care if they change the beach, the ocean, and the sands. If you want to change the name, fine.
They should change it because, I mean, I give you a whole list of things that Robert Moses was bad at.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not even going to bother people with it, but trust me, the guy was awful on like 100 different levels, and I don't like going to his beach just because of that. They should call it something else.
I'm not going to argue that.
There goes Evan.
By the way,
there goes Evan down the rabbit hole.
Oh, there's no rabbit hole. Like, I think he sucks.
All right. The guy sucks. The beach is fine.
And look, the basically kicking the Dodgers and Giants out, it's in the top five. I'm not going to say it's number one. It's not. But it's up there with his handling of it. How about the fact that this guy, and someone's going to correct me, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, refused to put bike lanes on the bridges because he didn't want people biking. Are you high? Like, what's wrong with that?
And now people bike all the time by the beaches.
Well, because we've realized that this guy was an idiot. Anyhow.
All right.
Continue on. What were you saying about Robert Moses?
Perhaps this is because he's an idiot and a bad guy.
What?
That beach, the moment you get to the sand, you are lucky if you have phone service. So the point is, when I want to go read on the beach, if it's not loaded, I'm screwed.
Nah, that's a good point.
So I need the magazine. That's all I'm saying. They still play.
Scott's in East Brunswick. Hey, Scott.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Yo! What's up, baby?
How are you? I'm great. I'm just going to say, though, I'm totally with you guys on this. First off, Evan, the updatedness. I use those fantasy magazines since the 90s, but, you know, getting there, that summer vacation, going through, highlighting things. But, you know, just like your guys are saying, Sean, I understand your point, but, again, I think in this day and age, it's so hard. I know the clunkiness online stinks, especially when you see those ads and stuff. But, guys, again, it is 2025. Information comes out so quick. The changes. I'm looking at a magazine. It's from June. You know what I mean, guys?
That's
the
problem.
I've been picking one up, I think, since COVID, guys.
That's the problem. What they should offer, and I don't even know if magazines do this, is a way to kind of, like, download it.
Like Madden?
Up to date. update, like Matt, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like video games will update those rosters for you now.
Yeah, and I'm sure they do that anyway because magazines can be updated when they're done online, but the way to download it so it comes in magazine form on your tablet so you don't have to worry about the internet because you've downloaded it. You see what I'm saying?
Now, maybe I'm getting a little confused here, but when you read those magazines, like what do you look at? Oh, like their prediction of who's going to win the Super Bowl could be altered by the injury? Like what's the problem?
I break down the roster and the depth chart, and if guys get hurt or guys get caught or guys get claimed, the depth charts are not updated. That's my problem.
You just look to the next guy in the depth chart.
No, but okay, you're missing the point, Sean.
I'm just saying,
there's a lot of things going on in everybody's life.
Yeah.
You miss things. You try not to.
Like when I told
you
about Rashawn Slater yesterday, and you said, didn't they just get him from the White Sox?
Well,
that happened off the air yesterday.
No, here's what happened. Early in the day, we were talking about Slater's injury, the Chargers offensive lineman. And the first thing I said is, didn't they just pay this guy?
Yeah.
Because I remember them giving like a monster contract. And he's like, yeah. And he said, yeah, got to keep an eye on that. But he went down with a non-contact injury. This was like 12 o'clock, right?
It was not 12 o'clock. It was like 2:15.
Of course, it couldn't have been 12 o'clock. Sean's not here at 12 o'clock.
You're damn right.
I'm here. Good point. So let's say it was 1:30.
Okay.
Right? At about 5 o'clock, so later in the day, it's off my mind, but yeah, we were talking about Slater's injury. All of a sudden, Sean says to me, oh my God, Slater, torn Achilles, or whatever.
Patella tendon.
Torn patella tendon. And I'm like, damn, that is brutal for Cashman. He's thinking, what?
And I look at you like you had 10 heads. I said, Cashman?
And then he says, he's like, where'd he come from again? I said, oh, they got him from the White Sox.
I looked at you two guys like you were idiots.
And then Sean's like, no, he came from Northwestern. I'm like, Northwestern?
Well, because you said Chicago, and I said Northwestern's in Chicago. What are we talking about the city of the college he went to?
So I thought, for whatever reason, that Austin Slater, who got hurt the other day.
I said the Giants could have had him. They got Kadarius Toney.
And that part's real. Like, Austin Slater went on the 10-day IL. Yeah. With a hamstring issue. So it's not that nuts when you're saying Slater actually had a worse injury for me to say, wow, it wasn't a hammy?
Austin Slater was barely here and got hurt. The point, I forgot he was a Yankee when we were talking about Slater and you guys were thinking Yankees.
So Tiki was thinking Slater too.
Yes, both of you were thinking that Slater. The big Yankee fan of the show was thinking Charger Slater.
And I think it's because we are so engulfed in the Yankees and Mets on a daily basis. And we just had a caller like a few minutes earlier ripping Cashman's trade deadline where we talked about two guys are hurt, this guy's in the minors. And so it was fresh on my mind that when you said Slater tore his tendon, I thought of Austin Slater and not Rashawn Slater.
I tried to get you to my brain because you know what I'm thinking and you don't root for injuries. Man, this McLaurin thing, the Parsons thing. Now, Slater, I start thinking about the Giants' schedule going, how can they take advantage versus some of these crappy good teams?
No, I understand. That's where your brain is. We'll come back with your calls, 888-808-1019. Plus, I have a very difficult decision I need to make for Sunday, and maybe Sean and you guys can help me out. As I mentioned before, the way I'm able to watch every single Met game is when I have a life with my kids and my wife, I DVR the game. And it ain't that complicated. Like, it's actually a very simple thing to do. So on Saturday night, if my wife wants to have a date night, great. We'll go on a date night. We'll get home at 9:30, 10 o'clock. Kids are asleep. I start the Met game. And I've been doing this forever because I have a choice. Either, if I didn't do this, either I wouldn't be the diehard fan I am that likes to watch every pitch. Fine. I guess I can still have a job here. But I wouldn't be the crazy guy that I am. Some may like, some may hate. Or I wouldn't be married. I just wouldn't. There's no way I would be able to maintain a marriage if I told her every game is stopping our life. It would not work. So I DVR. And it's been a success. It works for everybody. I watch every game. I never say no to my wife in terms of things to do on the weekend. It's all good. Last year, family, friends invited us over for a barbecue. Okay, no big deal. Same plan. I'm going to DVR the Met game.
No biggie.
No biggie. Except these people, who I very much like, are diehard Met fans. Now, you may say, well, that's great, Evan. That's great that they're diehard Met fans. And they are, like, real Met fans, not some of those Fugazi Met fans. Well, some people like Tommy.
They have a dog named Mookie?
They may. They may. So we go over to their house for a barbecue, and my wife just reminds me, like, hey, I just want to let you know, they're going to have the game on. So your DVR plan is just not going to work at this place because unlike 99.9% of the places we go to, the game's going to be on. And I was like, you know, it kind of sucks, but you know what? At least the game is on. I just won't score it. I won't DVR it. It'll be there at the barbecue.
I won't score it. I'll have to talk to people.
I'll have to talk to people. So we go and have a great time. And I even said to you guys on that following Monday, wow, it was one of those rare times I didn't score the game. Mm-hmm. I was hanging out with like-minded Met fans, had a wonderful time. The kids are playing.
What a novel concept.
What a novelty.
Kids watch themselves by playing with others, and I hang out with other sports fans and watch a game.
It was cool.
What a thing, Evan.
It was a very surreal day, because it was also the day that President Trump got shot.
Yeah.
So that was obviously the talk of everybody. But
so you had to wave the post-game show, and that's it.
Yeah.
Gary Apple had to wait.
So we watched the Met game. All good. They beat the Rockies that day. No harm, no foul. All good. Going back for another barbecue.
All right.
So my wife says, we're good to go. I said, yeah, great. They're very nice people. I had a good time. Took them to a Met game recently. All good. I say to my wife, I got one question, though. She's like, what's that? I said, would it be weird now that I'm comfortable with them, now that I watched the Met game with them, we're all good now, can I bring my scorebook? So I don't know the answer. I don't know the etiquette of this, but is it weird since we're all friends? Then I just say, hey, guys, you might, or do I not even say anything? Right. Just whip the book out.
Okay. There's a couple things that need to be answered here.
Go ahead.
You're going to a barbecue at people's house you're very comfortable with, as you mentioned. Is this strictly the Roberts family and them, or is this like kind of like a big shindig?
I think it's like a lot of people. I don't think it's just. It's not an exclusive Roberts thing. It's a bunch of people having a barbecue on a Sunday afternoon.
I think then you've already answered the question anyway. If you're even thinking about it, it means you're comfortable enough that some of the people you may not know, you don't give as Evan would like to say, a rat's ass what they think of you, right? And I think the authentic Evan Roberts experience is what somebody would do. Like, I think anybody who you don't know that may listen to this show that happens to be a friend of a friend or a cousin at this barbecue, you're letting them leave with a story they can go home with. Hey. Evan Roberts was at the barbecue I was at, and he scored the game.
Just whipped the book out.
I think being authentic you is as good as you can be. And now you've opened up the comfortability. You took him to a Met game. I think you bring the score.
I mean, I was scoring at the Met game.
Here's what you can't get mad at, though.
Go ahead.
Somebody bumps into you, a little drink spill. You got to be careful.
That's the issue. The issue I have is I almost have to protect the book.
A little Fudgy the Whale Cake comes out later, you know.
Accidents happen.
Right.
You know, someone gets excited with the mustard, it squirts everywhere. Like, it happens. You got to be careful. But you're saying from an etiquette standpoint, like, forget me and you because we know each other very well, but if someone came to your house that you like them, they're friends,
yeah,
and all of a sudden they take out a book in the middle of the Giant game and they're like, yeah, I do this with Giant games.
I'd love it.
You'd say, cool.
I'd love it. Mm. Absolutely. I'd love it. Now, is this just like a straight bar? This is like somebody's birthday or something?
I think it's just a straight, like, okay, we're hanging out barbecue. That's my understanding.
Like, then to me, everything's fine. But, you know, if you got to a point, it was like a birthday reason. And they started to sing happy birthday. And you're like, hold on here. Alonzo's
what are
up.
You going to do about it?
And you're marking down pitches. Then you'd be rude. But you're in the clear other than that.
I'm also like, believe it or not, I'm pretty skilled at like shutting the book for a few minutes.
Like, I'm skilled at being able to stop scoring and returning to do it.
I am.
What a skill.
At the Met game the other day, when I took my youngest son, Spence, he wanted to go to Kitty Field. I closed the book. I walked over to Kitty Field. I was seeing what was happening in the game. I put it in my noggin. I remembered it. 2-1 pitch, fly ball to center field. And so when I got there, opened up the book. 2-1. Just whipped the book out. 2-1, fly ball to center field. That's an 8.
I would bring it. Honestly, I think people there would find it cool. Now, if it's like the 100th straight time, then I'd be like, oh, he's doing this bit again.
First time ever.
I think the first time ever is a big deal for people to watch you score a game.
like I'm a circus freak.
Yeah, like a zoo exhibit.
But is it going to put a bad taste in your mouth if like a drink gets spilled on it and you're going to be scarred?
You know,
for future barbecues?
So here's the thing. What I've learned about accidents, which can happen at a baseball game. In fact, it's much more likely to happen at a baseball game than it would be a barbecue because you got people all around you.
And not enough stalls.
Absolutely not enough stalls. What do you think? I'm taking it to the bathroom with me?
No, you said accidents are more likely to happen at a baseball game.
No, what I mean by accidents is if the person behind me has a beer, them spilling it is on the table. And they're right on top of me.
True.
So I'm saying I think there's more risk at a baseball game than there is at a barbecue.
That is fair, because if you go to this barbecue and you just corner off a section of a table, no one's going to sit near you.
Why would you say that?
I'm just saying, no, because you have this entire book open.
That's odd.
No one's going to want to sit next to you if they, you know, want to spill something on the book.
Also, outdoor TV situation, or you got to be in the house?
No, it's outdoors.
Oh, then you're fine.
It was a great setup.
Yeah, you score the game outside.
Okay. Yeah, first of all, you saying no one's going to be next to me makes me feel weird. Like, I don't want that.
Just put on deodorant before you go.
I'll put deodorant on. I'll keep the book folded so it's smaller, so it doesn't take up a lot of space. And one thing I've learned about my book getting dirty, I learned this when a little girl spilled ice cream on my book. It was a very traumatic experience. I was watching Matt Harvey pitch in a minor league game in Binghamton. I know, what a wild story. Matt Harvey, minor league game in Binghamton, and this little girl had ice cream. I mean, she spilled it on my book.
And you bought her a new ice cream, I assume.
I did not buy her anything. I gave her a dirty look.
Oh, you're so rude. Okay, that was more traumatizing for the kids. You lost her ice cream. You could have reached into your pocket.
Why would I reach? I didn't drop the ice cream. She did.
Be a good guy.
No, I didn't drop the ice cream.
It doesn't matter. You can be a good guy.
She dropped it on my book. I cleaned it off. The mom apologized, and I said, no biggie. I was very...
No biggie.
I was very diplomatic about the whole process. At least that's what I tell myself.
What are you bringing in this barbecue, by the way?
Like as a gift?
Not as a gift. Like a
bring someone to somebody's house. Yes, it's like sort of a gift.
A dessert, wine. What do
we
you bring?
Usually go nice bottle of wine?
Okay, all right, fair enough.
But
oh god,
somebody gave me this awesome bottle of Jets wine, and I'm like, could I bring that? Like Jets wine's pretty badass.
I have the same bottle of Jets wine.
Now it feels cheap, like I'm re-gifting it.
You're going to repurpose the gift you got.
That's a tough repurpose.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to buy actually a nice bottle of wine. That's what I do when I go to somebody's house. Isn't that what you do?
I bring a bunch of Entenmann's.
That's cheap, bro.
No, have you seen Entenmann's prices?
Not today.
You buy just a box of Entenmann's?
A couple boxes. Do the box of the donuts and maybe a cookie assortment and probably like the marshmallow cake.
A little bit of the crumb cake maybe.
Let me tell you something right now. You could go to any bakery in this area. The guy that shows up with Entenmann's to a party, that's the thing. Everybody flocks to it.
You think that's better than a nice bottle of wine?
I think it's more unique. I think it's more... Anybody can bring wine. You bring Entenmann's, you're going to rock people's world.
Can anybody bring Entenmann's?
But they don't because they think it's cheap.
The one dessert product I will bring to someone's house is black and white cookies. Oh, that's always a good go-to.
Yeah, it's a good one, too.
I mean, it's a good one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to bring something nice, though. Because you're going over somebody's house.
I agree.
Look at this guy on hold. I'm going to let this guy say what he apparently told Connor about if I came over to his house with my scorebook. Larry in Medford. Larry, walk me through this. So I'm over your house, you're having a barbecue, and I whip the book out. Then what happens?
Turn off your TV and I go home.
What'd you say?
Turn off the TV.
Oh.
His phone's cutting out. I think he said he'd shut the TV off and send me home.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yes, that's what I said.
Why? Why am I doing so wrong?
I'm inviting you to be company and to enjoy everybody, and you're sitting there scoring a Met game? Like, what kind of nerd are you?
What if I'm having great conversation with everybody? What if I'm able to maintain being a geek but also breaking down the world? Does that make it better, Larry?
No, I tell you to go home and get a life.
Wow.
I got to
defend. See, Larry's making me think differently now.
I got to defend Evan. I hate doing this. I have been at enough games with Evan now, scoring games, where I tell you, I think Evan is more sociable with the book in hand than not.
It's like a comfort
for
me.
It is. I think Evan without the book, he's still scratching his arm, patting his head.
Because if you run out of things to talk about, you'd always just point at the book. Look at this, exactly. And this happened in the second.
Connor, you're 100% right. Evan is in a comfort level where he can look up quick, make a comment. Like, it is a more comfortable conversation with Evan when he's scoring a baseball.
Yeah, you got to keep this in mind. It's not like head goes in book. I'm done. I'm not talking to anybody. Like, I have maintained a balance. At least I think I have, Sean's basically confirmed it.
You have, which would stun the world unless they've experienced it.
I know, but now Larry's...
Just whip the book out.
There are times, maybe I'm just used to it because it's sitting there. I like, oh my God, he's still scoring the game. You lose track of it because you're sitting there watching the game with you.
Well, Larry told me he'd send me home. What about Glenn and Ramsey? Glenn, what would you do?
You leave the book at home and you grow up. Come on, Evan. I mean, grow up already with the Focaccia book.
Jesus.
You're worried about a scorebook. You got a beautiful wife. You go into a home in Westchester. Go to Sugar High in Armonk. You buy food. You buy dessert. Stop being cheap. Come on, grow a
cheap. Well, first of all,
he was not being cheap.
The wine is more expensive than the dessert.
And the scorebook might be more expensive than both.
I took all those critiques fairly until you went to the cheap. My initial reaction to Sean's dessert thing was he's cheap.
It's not.
No, and that's fine, but the reason I went bottle of wine is I think that's not cheap.
It's not cheap at all.
I'll tell you right now, I know it's only two callers. I'm very intimidated now. I think the book is not coming with me.
They are putting a baseball game outside for you to enjoy. They are giving you the open signal. Enjoy the game however you wish.
I'm just saying.
They might send you home, though, Evan. I don't know.
I feel very bullied right now.
No, you got to bring the book.
All right, let me try a third guy. This will like make me feel a little bit better. Vinny is in Queens. What's going on today, Vinny? Uh-oh. My screen is... Oh, there we go.
Hey, Ev, I'm a big fan of My Mets Bible, but that's about the only part of this phone call that you're going to like. You can't bring the scorebook to the barbecue. You know that. You want to score the game, you DVR it. You score it when you get home. I mean, come on, Ev. You know what you're doing here. And by the way, Sean,
yeah,
genius move. He knew everyone was going to call up and say, Evan, you can't bring it. So he played good guy and said, no, Ev, bring the book. Who cares? No worries.
No, you're reading me wrong,
Vinny.
Is
that what you did,
no,
Sean?
No, I wouldn't do that.
You set me up
he's
to fail.
He's a good friend.
Yeah, he's a great friend, all right? All right, thanks for the call, Vinny. Yeah, I think you set me up.
I didn't set you up. I also have to tell the audience, I am coming at this from a place of experience, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I know you with and without the scorebook. And I also know that for the first time meeting an Evan Roberts, seeing him in the wild scoring a game, actually, I think for a small group of people, would give them dinner conversation elsewhere.
I also want to make very clear to our last caller and to anybody listening, I've never done this. I, again, DVR every game. So when I do go out... I'm the opposite of being interested in baseball. I won't talk about baseball because I don't want them to spoil the game.
So
I went to a pool party about a month ago, okay? And it was set up by someone who is a Met fan. But I guess maybe they respect my DVR thing, or maybe they DVR it. Never put the game on. Never acknowledge the game, okay? I refuse to talk. Not refuse. That's not the right word. I wouldn't try to talk Mets because I was scared if I did... I get a, wow, could you believe Soto's error in the fifth inning? So I'm a social guy when need be. So this is not something I normally do. I'm only bringing it up because last year was the first time where the game was on. I wasn't going to tell him to shut it off. I'm DVRing it. I'm not that kind of an ogre. So I leaned in and watched it.
Also, isn't the most important person at this barbecue to you your wife?
My kids, too.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
Jeez, man. What are you trying to do here?
The people that would notice you scoring the game.
My wife and kids matter the most, yes.
Okay. And your wife is not going to have a problem with this.
You know what my wife said?
Do it. Bring it.
My wife said bring it.
Yeah.
So I got no problem with it.
I've had the conversation with your wife about you scoring games. I know she's all in on it.
Yeah, she's fine with it.
So if she doesn't care, then what the hell does it matter?
I just whip the book out.
And if these people never invite you to your house because they think you're an ultimate weirdo for scoring a game, then they're not good enough to be your friends.
They're
anyway.
Not going to think that because they're great Met fans.
Exactly.
They're watching the game.
They might ask you in the sixth inning, what did Alonso do in the third? To which you lick the tip of your finger and you go back and you point down.
That would be my favorite part. If I get to say, oh, you want to know what Pete did in the second inning? Struck out on a 2-2 pitch.
It'd be like watching Gordon Ramsay cook. Like, that's just what he does.
Exactly. Exactly the same thing.
James in Levittown has an important question. Hello, James. You may have to punch it up for me, Sean. What's up, James?
What's going on, Evan? Great to talk to you. You and Joe really created a lot of great memories for me and my father during my teenage years on the Midday Show. So just wanted to thank you for
we
all
we appreciate
you
that, man. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, getting back to why I called. So I consider myself a former Brooklyn Nets fan.
Okay.
Because of the absolute circus that Kyrie and KD turned that organization into. As I tried to be an IBO. I stayed in the coalition of Knick haters. I will always stay true to that.
Okay.
I will always be in there. But it's like, you know, you're the guy who's like going around dating, and I just never really just fell in love with another team. I tried, but I need to know in your advice,
mm-hmm.
Can I come back into the Brooklyn Nets fandom?
Well, what timing? I mean, we suck, but yes. I absolutely think you can. And I'll tell you the real reason why. You never slept with anybody else. You didn't do it.
No.
You thought about it. You were looking for it. But you remained loyal. And because you never hooked up with another team and remained loyal to the coalition of Knick haters, I think it's okay to come back. Now, I also find it strange that someone would leave a fandom when they actually had a chance at success.
Odd.
And now, and yes, they drafted 150 guys in the first round. None of them can shoot. Hey, I'll come back. I'll come back and root for them now. I find the timing odd, but yes, you are welcome back. I think the key is, even if you have this weird pseudo breakup with a team, which I can't do, Sean could never do, but I'm understanding your side of things.
The Brooklyn Nets suck.
As long as you never hook up with anybody else, we're good.
Yeah. Well, and boy, if there was ever an August 8th phone call to WFAN, that was it, huh?
It's a good phone call, though.
It is a good phone call. I don't have any respect for anybody that ever quits fandom. I'm sorry.
But he never went anywhere.
I know he never went anywhere, but I don't know. Like, aren't these teams in your blood?
I agree, but see, here's the problem you're having with this call. Take a step back. I could never do that. I acknowledged that right away when I was answering this. I could never do that. You could never do that. I'm looking at his perspective and saying, hey, he was disgusted by the KD Kyrie era. Okay, fine. I wasn't. I was hopeful. I wanted to win a freaking championship.
Lived and died with every possession.
I know that. Yeah. But I'm trying to put myself in his shoes to say, okay, well, is he allowed back into the family? And if he's coming back now, I mean, why the hell not?
I would need to know. I need to sit down. I would love a podcast with this guy. What are your other teams you root for in the other sports? I would like to compare down eras. Why did you not do it then? I don't know. That just felt off to me.
So you're not welcoming him back?
Get lost. Nobody wants you when...
Oh, come on.
Demean is Denim, whatever.
Igor Demin is our guy, and yeah. He wants to come back. I mean, come on. Cam Brutal. Thomas is like still sitting there in free agency, and the guy wants to come back. Come on.
Yeah. Speaking of bad players, though, for a second, Evan, let's take a window seat to Giants training camp sponsored by Windorama's First Down Deals, 30% off your installation project. Evan Neal is in the window seat, got banged up in practice this week, but there has never been three preseason games in Evan Neal's career that are this important to his livelihood. If he could turn into the guard the Giants need, as you doubted early on, perhaps the Giants offensive line could be a strength.
Scotty is calling from Connecticut. What's up, Scotty?
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just got out of work, so I'm infinitesimally better than I was 5 minutes ago.
Nice.
How's 5 everything? O'clock somewhere, Scotty.
Excellent, man. Oh, congrats.
It's about to be. I'm heading home. The wife's already got the cocktails ready to go. Anyway, I digress. Look, Evan, if I show up at a barbecue and you're there and you don't have your book, I'm looking you up and down with nothing but disappointment. It's your whoopee. It's who you are. It's what you need. Batman doesn't go out without a cape. You know what I'm saying? You need your book, pal. You're a superhero. Listen, and anybody who has anything to say and doesn't like it, tell them, lighten up, Francis. Have a nice day and go get your shine box. I got to score my book.
I like it. Your whoopee.
That made me feel better. The reality is, there is only, now that my wife said okay, there's only two people that matter. And those two people, the people hosting the party. Yeah. I'm being that serious. Like, everyone else there, because it could be somebody listening. You don't know. You don't know friends of friends of friends, right? There could be somebody listening right now who's like, I didn't know Evan's going to that party. And they could have the opinion he's an idiot if he showed up with his book. I don't care about you. I really don't. I care about the hosts because I respect them.
That is interesting.
So if they were like, it's kind of uncomfortable, don't do it. Dead to me. Not them. The book. I won't bring it that day. No big deal. I can live. I've done it before. Did it last year. Mets won that game. So undefeated when I watch a game and they don't score.
I would say most people's whoobies as adults are phones, but is yours your scorebook more than your phone?
How would you define a whoobie?
Like just that you feel comfortable. You'd freak out if you didn't have it on you.
Here's what I would say about that. I think watching baseball has become my whoobie in that it is odd to watch a baseball game without my book, especially if I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
The only times I will watch a game without my book is when we're on the air, for obvious reasons. Right. I do put, believe it or not, the show first, and I don't score games. But any other time, it is very strange. In fact, I could tell you the last game I went to where I didn't score it, and it was, bro, it was a decade ago.
Wow.
A decade ago.
That is your whoobie.
And you could baseball reference this to see if I'm right. But I could tell you the year. It was 2014. I could tell you that. It was Dodger Stadium. I could tell you that. It was Mets-Dodgers. And I don't know why I didn't bring the book. I think I may have not known we were going to the game. It may have been a last-second plan while I was out there. I was with my wife, who I had only been dating for like 4 months. And I'm promising you that wasn't the reason, because I was not hiding my scoring love. But memory tells me, and this is the part that sucks about not scoring the game, because I can't just look it up and tell you, it was Mets-Dodgers at Dodger Stadium, and I kind of think it was Kershaw DeGrom. I could be wrong. It was definitely Kershaw. You could fact-check that.
Why don't you go back, rewatch it, do this offseason in the Rico.
Do like a rewatch?
And then score it while you're on the Rico and do a rewatch.
That's that could be fun.
That's an offseason Rico.
But it's such a random game from such a random season.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have more in your inventory to do from November to February?
You wrote a book about random games.
So I found the day. Is that the day? this doesn't look right. It was late August in L.A., and I don't see a game that Clayton Kershaw pitched, so it wasn't Kershaw. I do see a game DeGrom pitched. He faced Zach Greinke on a Saturday night in L.A.
Maybe that was it?
That was it.
Yeah.
See? That was the game.
You didn't score the game, so now you don't remember the starting pitcher.
That's the problem!
You didn't have your whoopee.
That's the freaking problem. Because I didn't score the game, my whoopee wasn't there, and I'm like unsure about what the hell actually happened.
I just love that it's his whoopee now.
You like the whoopee?
Yeah, I'm going to laugh about that all weekend.
We'll get more into the baseball.
I go to bed fantasizing about it.
What was that?
We'll come back and get into the baseball. The New York Mets need to start to turn their season around. The New York Yankees are about to take on the Houston Astros. Our confidence level in both teams, and we'll set you up for a big weekend. Mets, Brewers, Yankees, Astros, and more of your calls at 888-808-1019, the toll-free number.